From Hollywood, California, we bring you a new prize-winning Dr. Christian play called On to Glory, starring Gene Herschold as Dr. Christian and presented for your pleasure by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other Vaseline specialties. Here's what happened to a man who neglected his hair. Loose dandruff appeared. His scalp felt tight and itchy. His hair became brittle, lifeless, and downright unmanageable. Yes, sir, he had dry scalp. What to do? What to do? Happily for him, he tried Vaseline Hair Tonic. Vaseline Hair Tonic checked dry scalp. Vaseline Hair Tonic made his hair good-looking and healthy-looking again. Millions of men and women have had that same experience. For dry scalp is very common, and Vaseline Hair Tonic has what it takes to relieve it. Vaseline Hair Tonic actually supplements the natural oils of the scalp. Unlike most preparations, it contains absolutely no drying ingredient whatever. Here's all you do. Before every hair wash, give your scalp a good brisk massage with plenty of Vaseline Hair Tonic. This stimulates the circulation, thus helping to prevent excessive falling hair. It loosens dandruff scales and stops that dry, itchy feeling in the scalp. After the shampoo, rub a little Vaseline Hair Tonic directly on the scalp. This checks dryness, helps to keep your scalp in good condition, and your hair naturally good-looking. For double care, both scalp and hair, use Vaseline Hair Tonic regularly. Get a bottle tonight, only 40 or 70 cents. You'll be glad you did. Tonight's prize play, On to Glory, comes to us from the Deep South. It was written by Elizabeth Torrey Dancy of Holly Springs, Mississippi. "I've always been surrounded by material I would like to write about," she says, "and On to Glory is my first literary success, so you know I'm happy over it. This encourages me to try to find more time for my efforts at writing." Mrs. Dancy's play is different from any other we have presented in this prize-winning series because all the characters in it are colored, except Dr. Christian, played by our star Gene Herschold, and Judy Price, played by Lureen Tuttle. A splendid group of Hollywood's best Negro talent has been assembled for tonight's play, headed by Lillian Randolph, who plays the chief character, Aunt Tenny, Ernestine Wade, who plays Verily, Aunt Tenny's favorite niece, Margaret Hairston, who plays Adley, another niece, and the versatile octet, talented group of Negro singers, directed by Jester Hairston. The opening scene finds Dr. Christian and his secretary, Judy Price, on their way to a country call. And so the curtain rises.
Well, Judy, I'm so glad you could come with me today.
Oh, I'd love to go. Country calls are always the most interesting. Is it far?
No, only about 7 or 8 miles to see an old colored woman, Aunt Tenny. You remember her, don't you?
Oh, yes, of course I do. Is she very sick?
It's a strange case. I haven't been able to find anything much wrong with her, though she says she's not going to live long.
Really?
Yes, when I was there yesterday, she seemed to have made up her mind that her time had come and nothing could save her.
You mean she's just willing herself to die?
Something like that. She has sent for all her friends and relatives, and yesterday she asked me to advise her will.
Her will?
Oh, she got me to write it for her 2 or 3 years ago. I expressed it as nearly as possible as she dictated.
Oh, I'll bet it's a scream. I suppose she's married.
No, she's on her fourth husband now.
Lots of kids, too, I think.
No, she hasn't any children at all. So she's leaving all her possessions to one of her nieces.
Well, what about her husband?
Who, Luke? Oh, he says she won't leave him anything because Luke is so... Well, he's not responsible.
Evidently, she wears the pants in the family.
Yes, she completely dominates Luke. You know, he can read and write, but she can't. Even so, when she sends him on an errand, she makes him write a note and sign her name.
Then she sends the note by him?
Exactly.
He's quite a character.
Yes.
How old is he?
Oh, she's not so old. In her 60s. But her heart is sound and her blood pressure about normal for her age. In fact, she has nothing but vague aches and pains she complains about.
Well, then her trouble's mostly in her mind.
Yes. As I see, to one of her type, dying is a very dramatic incident.
Oh,
I believe she has thought about it a lot and carefully planned a final scene of her life.
Evidently, she likes attention.
Oh, yes. And naturally, on her deathbed, she would get more attention than she has been able to command at any other time.
With relatives and friends, mourners, a big funeral.
Of course. Told me that she had always kept her private insurance paid up and wanted to be put away right.
And you think the thought of this final scene is so pleasing to Penny that she's trying to hasten the day?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, what fantastic. Stage your own death. What if it doesn't come off?
I'm afraid it will come off.
Dr. Christian, can a person die just because she wants to?
Possibly. Anyway, Aunt Penny can cause a lot of trouble. Keep her folks upset by refusing to eat, staying in bed, having fainting spells. She's already had them so many times that she's sure that they're real. Well, there we are. Come on in, Julian. Aunt Penny, I'm sure, will be glad to see you.
All right. Who's the girl at the door?
Oh, that's Barry, the Aunt Penny's favorite niece. Good morning, Barry. How's our patient today?
Good morning, Dr. Christian. She's about the same. Won't you come in, sir?
Thank you. Good morning, Penny. How do you feel this time?
Poorly, Dr. Christian. Poorly. I just hear that, all. And I know my time ain't long on this earth.
Good morning, Aunt Penny. Who's that?
It's Miss Judy Price, my secretary.
Oh, Lord, that's Miss Judy. I sure do appreciate you coming to see me, Miss Judy. But I ain't going to be there long.
Oh, it can't be as bad as that, Aunt Penny.
Yes, it's so. Rarely here can tell you what a time I've been having. Well, it's my youngest sister's child.
How do you do, Verily? Good morning, Miss Price. Rest your coat? No, I think I'll keep it on.
Well, his mother and them already gone to glory. And I'm still here, struggling, and I'm hurting.
Oh, Aunt Penny, does you pain yourself?
Oh, I sure do. Verily, where's your sister Adley?
Adley will come to see you pretty soon, now.
Miss Judy, I sent for Verily and Adley both at the same time. And Verily's been right here by my side ever since. And Adley ain't even set her foot in the door. And me even have my furniture to her.
Well, you know Adley's got a little baby, Aunt Penny.
I know Adley's got a little baby now, the 4 months old now, but she can tote that young one up here. She ain't too good to tote it.
Well, now, don't excite yourself, Aunt Penny.
I know that's why I asked Dr. Christian to change my will for me, to leave my furniture to Verily. Doctor, you got it ready. I'd like for you to bring it when you come to see me tomorrow, if I'm still here. And I want you to read it for me. Let my folks hear it, too. So they'll know what to say.
Oh, I'm sure you'll still be here, Aunt Penny.
Oh, yes. We want you to be with us a long time yet. We're going to get you well.
Oh, no, sir. I just feel that. Just like someone tells me, time is ahead. And my soul is with it. And my bail insurance is all paid up.
Oh, Aunt Penny.
Now, Miss Verily, you look under my pillow. See if my bail policy is all right. I'm so weak, I hardly raise my head to get it myself.
Here it is, Aunt Penny.
Let me see it. Hold it in my own hand. I can't read, but I can tell by the look of it what it is. You folks, what can you can see where it says it's hard to be dead when the time comes.
Well, that's very foresighted of you, Penny.
I want to be put away decent. I don't hear nothing sad about the way I depart on my journey for the glory up yonder. Now, Verily, honey, put it back under my pillow. Cause if my head is laying on it, I know it won't get lost.
I'll have to go now, Aunt Penny. Keep on with the medicine, as I told you before.
Don't forget. Bring that will, Dr. Christian.
I won't forget. I'll find you tomorrow. Come on, Judy.
Goodbye, Aunt Penny.
Good day, Dr. Christian. Good day, Miss Judy. Come back and see me if I'm still living.
All right, Aunt Penny. Goodbye.
Verily, I want to speak to you outside a moment.
Yes.
Good day, Aunt Penny. Verily, you want your aunt to get well, don't you?
Yes, of course I do.
Then you must help me. You must do exactly as I say, even if what I tell you to do seems strange. you understand?
Yes, sir.
I'll come again tomorrow afternoon around 3 o'clock. Before coming into the house, I'll blow my car horn.
Yes, sir.
When you hear the horn, you tidy up Penny's bed. Straighten her pillow, and while doing so, take that burial policy from under her pillow and hide it.
Lord, Dr. Christian, I can't do that.
Oh, but you must.
But Dr. Christian, Aunt Penny asks to look at that policy every little while. Then she makes me put it back under her pillow. Why, if anything happened to it and she didn't die, she so killed me.
Well, that is a risk you'll have to take if you want to get her well. I'm depending on you to do it.
Well, I shall hope you hear when she misses it so you can protect me.
No, you don't need to worry about that. I'll stay until she misses it. Good day.
Good day, Doctor. Good day, Miss Judy. Goodbye.
Wonder what I'm up to, Judy.
Of course.
You see how Penny holds on to that burial policy?
It's her passport to heaven.
Well, she has planned a very dramatic exit from this life. Will read, as word said, and finally, a grand funeral. But without the burial insurance...
The drama would be ruined.
And without the prospect of a fine funeral, well, there would be no reason to die.
I see.
He sincerely believes she's on her way to glory, and the burial policy is a sweet chariot coming to carry her home.
Well, then what a disappointment. You're almost unkind to take away her precious burial policy.
No, I have a plan to save her face and make her feel important without dying. I'm going to try to make her even happier while getting well.
Well, I hope I'm there to see it.
Well, tomorrow is Sunday, and old Penny's friends and relatives from far and near will be on hand. So, if you'd like to go with me and hear the reading of the will,
why? Would I? I wouldn't miss it for anything.
How is she?
Well, she seems awful weak today. I sure am glad you've come.
Well, I see all the relatives and friends are here.
Yes, sir.
Well, let's go in.
That's you, Dr. Christian?
Yes. How are you today, Penny?
I was thinking fast, Doctor. I said, please, Lord, wait till the doctor gets here with my will and let me make my mark. Have you brought the will, Doctor?
Yes, I have it here.
Then, oh, Lord, I'm ready.
Verily, could I have a glass of water and food?
Yes, sir.
Now, Penny, I'm going to give you this medicine so you'll be strong enough to hear the reading of the will.
There it is, Doctor.
Thanks. That's fine. Now, where's that will? Oh, I have it.
Now, you've been saying that, well, I ain't going to ask you to change it again.
Now, that gal over there with the two children, that's Adley what I was telling you about.
Good afternoon, Adley.
Good afternoon, Doctor.
She done got here at last, and I told her she could have some of my dishes and cooking utensils that I didn't name in the will.
Well, I'm sure that's very nice of you.
But I'm telling you, gal, don't you let them children break up them dishes.
No, ma'am, Penny.
I done kept these dishes 40-odd years, ever since I married Charlie. You know, he was the best husband I ever had. And I sure will haunt you, Adley, if you let them children break them dishes up.
Yes, sir, Aunt Penny.
And I make them dishes fly up and hit you.
Yes, sir.
You better save yourself, Aunt Penny. You all out of breath.
Yes, my voice got so weak. I can hardly do nothing but whisper.
Oh, don't try to talk. Just lie back and relax.
But I want to make my brother and sister known to you, Doctor. Then I'll be ready to hear the will. Dr. Tracy, that's my blind brother boy over there. That's my sister Savannah sitting next to me.
Good afternoon to you all.
Good afternoon, Doctor.
The other folks will have to excuse me. Oh, there's too many of them to name off.
Very well. Shall I proceed now with the will?
Proceed, Doctor.
I, Tenny White, being of sound mind and infirm of body, do this day make my last will and testament, to wit, to my husband Luke White, I do not leave anything, as he is not exactly responsible, and has told me that he did not want anything that I have. To my sister Savannah Washington, I leave whatever money I have on hand after my debts have been paid. I want my sister Savannah to look after my husband Luke White and see that he has something to eat and a place to stay. She must also look after my blind brother Boyd, who has been depending on me for 12 years. To my niece Verily Washington, I will my household furniture, consisting of two wooden bedsteads, one feather bed, a dresser, washstand, wardrobe, pictures and picture frames, quilt box with a quilt therein, trunk and clothing therein, except the black dress, which I'm to be buried in. Two rotten chairs, three straight chairs, side saddle, quilting frames, cook stove, and tea kettle. I also will to Verily my chickens, 11 hens, and a top-knot rooster.
Now, you all know that that speckled rooster in the yard belongs to Boy. It don't go to Verily with my chickens.
And my dog Ring, which she must take good care of, and be sure to give him a can of sardines every New Year's Day to keep him from going mad. My cow and calf I once sold, and the money from sale of same used to put a tombstone at my head and my feet. I want my sister Savannah's son Jasper to be executor of this will and see that everything is carried out just as I say, so that I can rest in peace. I don't want any squabbling over what I'm leaving here on this earth. And if any of you do cross over, I'll sure come back and haunt you. Aunt Penny, is that the way you want your will read, please?
Yes, Doctor.
Well, then you make your mark here, Aunt Penny, and Miss Judy and I will witness it. There.
Well, the will is written. My insurance is paid up, and the soul is ready. Well, honey, you come over here and stay by my side. So as far as going, I can tell you my last years.
Oh, Annie, you ain't gonna die. You mustn't die.
Yes, I is, honey. And I don't want none of you to grieve. I want you to go. I can see him waiting up now.
Oh, Dr. Steady, you look like she's gone to a train.
Steady now. I think she'll come out of it. Her pulse is strong yet.
I can hear the angels sing. St. Peter's opening them pearly gates. Now I can lay my burden down. Valley, honey, where is he?
Right here, and by his side.
All right. Don't leave me. Take my burden, policy. Put it in the hand.
Oh, hey, it is there. It's gone.
Gone? What you saying, girl? You didn't let somebody slip in here and take it? Oh, right. I just last night somebody's meddling with it. Let me out of here.
Oh, don't, Aunt Penny. Don't try to get up.
If not, get my hands around the neck of that thief, I'll tear him apart.
Calm yourself, Penny. I'm the one who took the policy.
You took it?
Yes. You see, Penny, you've had a very strange and unusual melody.
I have?
Yes. Why, it's the worst case of its type I've ever treated.
Glory be.
Penny, only a person of unusual temperament is subject to this trouble.
And I have unusual temperament?
Indeed, yes. And it's hard to tell at first the best treatment, as what one patient responds to might not help another. Now, in your case, I realized from certain reactions that a severe shock was necessary. Losing your burial policy gave you quite a shock.
It sure did.
But you feel better now, don't you?
Oh, yes, I feel some better.
Good. Now, you may feel a little weak for a day or two, but don't give way to it. Go ahead and get up Eat whatever you want. Go out and talk to your dog and chickens. Why, they've been missing you.
Oh, Aunt Penny, I'm so glad you're going to get well.
Oh, thank you, Miss Judy. Lord, I knew I had something powerful strange. You say it was a malady, Doctor?
Yes, a very rare one. I've only known of one other case in my whole medical career.
No, think of that.
But he couldn't let you die. There are too many people who need you. Your husband, your blind brother, your nieces, and all your friends.
Are you sure, Doctor, I'm going to get well?
Oh, I'm certain of it.
Oh, the Lord knows this.
Yes, Penny, I believe you'll live to tell your great-grandnieces and nephews all about your unexpected journey back from the pearly gate.
Every time I feel the spirit moving in my heart, I'll obey. Every time I feel the spirit moving in my heart, I'll obey.
And the curtain comes down on another Dr. Christian Prize play, starring Jean Hersholt, who is waiting to greet you and tell you about next week's play. No matter how busy a woman may be with her war work and her housework, too, she knows she can look as attractive as ever if she follows a few basic beauty routines. That's why so many women are enthusiastic over the Vaseline Hair Tonic way of caring for the hair. It's a simple, inexpensive treatment that you can give yourself right at home. And it's marvelous for making your hair soft and shining and easy to arrange attractively. Here's all you do. Before every shampoo, massage the scalp with plenty of Vaseline hair tonic. Then wring out a piping hot towel and wrap it around your head. As the towel cools, repeat the process. Then wash your hair thoroughly. You'll notice a wonderful difference. Your hair will be softer, more lustrous, easy to arrange becomingly. Why not give yourself a Vaseline hair tonic treatment every week? And between shampoos, smooth on a few drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic as you would a brilliantine. Get Vaseline Hair Tonic tonight and follow this basic beauty ritual for keeping your hair looking its loveliest. Now, here is Jean Hersholt.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it makes me very happy to know you enjoyed these prize plays. Next week's selection is called The Case of Tommy Holmes, and it is written by Gene Shumate of Des Moines, Iowa. Gene Shumate's broadcasts of football, baseball, and other important events are familiar to many of you who live in the Middle West. I know you'll enjoy his exciting action stories, so be sure to join us again next week. Same time and same station. And until then, I'll say good night.
Is a head cold taking the joy out of your life? Well, then try this simple, effective relief. Place a little Vaseline jelly in each nostril. Vaseline jelly lubricates the delicate nasal tissues, helps relieve that stuffy feeling. The result? You breathe more easily, feel better. Get Vaseline jelly, only 10 cents. Art Gilmore speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.